Normally, angels are God's invisible agents. They do their work quite unseen by those of us here on earth. But occasionally, they can be seen, as in the case of Elisha in the Old Testament. Here, we get a glimpse of the mighty army of protection God has at his disposal when he chooses to defend even one of his children against harm. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 6 as we witness God's unseen host suddenly made visible.
So the king of Syria says, okay, where's Elisha? They said, Dothan. By the way, I've been to Dothan many years ago. It's about 10 miles north of Samaria. But he says in verse 13, go and see where he is that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. I mean, you talk about overkill. I mean, you know, you want to get one guy. So you send horses and chariots and your big army. And, I mean, talk about shooting a roach with a shotgun. I think there's somebody who wants to write a country song. And if I remember, the title is, Get the Hammer, Mama, There's a Fly on Papa's Head. And this is a little bit of overkill, actually. Maybe you don't need exactly a hammer now. But nonetheless, the king says, we're going to get that guy. So he sends a whole army, the Bible says a vast army, of chariots and horses to capture Elisha. Well, what happens is this. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God, this is the servant of Elisha now, when he arose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Put yourself in the position, as I have, of being the servant. That's where we are. And remember the situation now. This would be like, as someone has said, it would be equivalent to you waking up and finding tanks all around your house. And when you look at the labels carefully, you realize that it says North Korea. And you're going to have a very bad day. Very bad day. Well, Elisha is speaking to the servant, says, he said in verse 16, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let me ask you something. Would that have cut mustard with you? If you had been there, would you have said, oh, that's enough for me, oh man of God? Let's just change the illustration a little bit. You're driving along the street. It's midnight. And you've just driven over a series of sharp objects. All four tires of your car are flat. You're surrounded by gang members. Some of them have a gun. Some of them have knives. Some of them have chunks of iron and stones. And they begin breaking the window. And you say to the person next to you, do not be afraid. Behold, there are more with us than are with them. And the person says, why, of course, forgive me. Forgive me for my anxiety. You need something more than just the word of a man of God at that moment. Elisha knew that. And here's a miracle that has occurred only here in the Bible, at least a miracle like this. Don't expect one like this for yourself, but there is a reason why it happened here, so that we might learn. And Elisha prayed and said in verse 17, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Well, there's a spirit world out there, and notice it says that there was now a vast army. There are more who are with us than with them, because there are myriads of angels. In fact, the Bible says 10,000 times 10,000. I haven't figured it out, but that clearly is in the multiplied millions. And there are many of them, and this army is bigger. And Let me say a word about angels. They are spirit beings, but sometimes God gives them the opportunity and the ability to actually become physical. That's why in the Old Testament there are those who entertained angels unawares, as did Abraham. There are stories even today of where people have appeared out of nowhere to help someone, and when they turned around to thank them, the person has disappeared. I know somebody to whom that happened, and I have every reason to believe, the possibility at least, that this was an angel sent by God in a time of distress. And even Satan, let's think theologically here for a moment, he must also have something like that ability, because he did quote scripture, and a spirit couldn't quote scripture. He'd have to have some kind of a physical form to make sure that those little puffs of air, which is the way in which we communicate words, would be given to Jesus. And in this instance, God allowed these angels to somehow, whether literally or figuratively, take the form of angels that have chariots, the fire symbolic of God, and these beings are surrounding the town of Dothan. And there are, just like the man of God said, more of God's angels than there were members of the Syrian army. What a story. But let's continue it. Later on, it says that Elisha said that the Lord opened his eyes, verse 18, and when the Syrians came down against him, Elijah prays now a different prayer and says, Lord, please strike this people with blindness. So God struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha says sarcastically, this is really funny. He says, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Well, of course they're seeking him. He says, you don't really want me. You want the king of Israel. Let me take you to Samaria. Well, they're blind. What are they going to do? They're going to have to follow him. And so they go the 10 miles to Samaria, and the king of Israel is elated and wants to kill them. I'll summarize the story, but Elisha says, no, don't kill them. Let's make a feast for them. Set bread and water before them, I'm in verse 22, that they may eat and then go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel, at least for a time. Later on, they did again, but that staved off the invasion. What a story. What I'd like to do now is to give you four truths that I believe will be transforming for you tomorrow and in the days ahead. And whether you're here today as a student, whether you're here today as a businessman, no matter what your profession, as a housewife, I want to encourage you today, and I want you to leave with the confidence that God is on your side. So here are the four transforming truths. Number one, important to realize, is that God's word is more powerful than the armies of the world. God's word is more powerful than the armies of the world. By the way, what I wanted to do in the next few moments is to get you from verse 15 to verse 17. The real agenda that you and I have, how do we live in the world that you can see, which is a very real world, in such a way that we nonetheless derive our encouragement and our strength from the world that you can't see? That's where we are going in the next few moments. And so first of all, please notice carefully that God's word is more powerful than these armies. When God wants to defend Israel, God is able to intervene, and he has multiple armies and various strategies at his disposal that he can deploy at any moment to defend his people whenever he wants to defend them. Because God is sovereign, and God is the one who rules in the affairs of men. The best way to illustrate this is Pilate. Imagine Pilate is standing in the presence of Jesus, and he says, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Boy, that sounds confident. Oh, imagine the words of Jesus. You know them by memory, don't you? Jesus looks at him and calmly said, "Thou hast have no power at all against me unless it were given to thee from above." Wow, Pilate, don't you know that the air you breathe, don't you know that the brains that I gave you, don't you know that the position that you are now in is all because I have allowed it? It is under my hands. You can do nothing, absolutely nothing, unless I gave you the ability to do it. And when we look at what's happening in America, and when we think of the designs of radical Islam and the number of Christians that are being killed today simply because they are Christians, and throughout the world, those kinds of persecutions and all that is going through, would we remember that God's word is more powerful than the armies and the designs of men who strut on the stage of history, believing themselves to be strong? But when God wants to defend his people, he has adequate resources to do it. And they can do nothing unless it is given to them from above. You need to hang on to that in a world that has lost its way. God is confidently in charge. There's a second lesson. The first is that God's word is more powerful than the armies of the world. Secondly, Elisha's prayer. Did you notice this? Elisha's prayer did not bring the angels. Elisha's prayer only opened the eyes of the servant to see angels that were already there. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that for a moment we can just bask in the sovereignty of God, the truth of the sovereignty of God. The fact that God has created angels, the fact that they can show up in a moment of time to help. And you know, you and I, perhaps we've never seen an angel. I haven't. But we may someday discover that these invisible agents actually helped us in many, many different ways. The sermon that you are listening to is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Invisible World, because it is the world of angels and demons. It's the world in which God exists. And it's also a world in which you and I will someday exist when we go to heaven. And we'll discover at that time that the invisible world will become very, very visible. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Thank you so much for your interest in our ministry. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your gifts. And now, before I leave you today, would you share Jesus Christ with someone? If you come to saving faith as a result of the good news of the gospel being preached to you, share it with someone else. You know somebody who needs to know the Savior. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of Angels, God's Invisible Agents, another message in an 8-part series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Monday, this amazing story continues, so make plans to join us. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.